evaluate these teachers. One of the things that I want you to notice is that God uses different personalities to do the same job. If I were to be a third teacher, and if you were to be a fourth and someone else a fifth yet, this lesson would come across differently. But God uses a wide range of personality to accomplish the same task. And it's best if you don't go home and try to emulate one person. It's good if you learn from their successes and so on. But don't go home and try to be somebody else and function outside of what God really created you to be. Right, but at the same time, I'd like to put some things on this board. How are you going to evaluate their effectiveness? This is kind of review from this week. You've heard things about teacher efficiency and effectiveness and so forth. Now, what are some things by which you're going to be evaluating what's happening here?
By the interest of the student.
Okay, by the interest of the student. Now, that, unfortunately, we're not at quite the right arrangement because all you get to look at is the back of their heads. All right, so maybe we'll just talk about interest of the students, all right? We're going to at least be able to evaluate it that way. Are they engaging the student? More, that's exactly the kind of thing we're looking for. There's other things, anybody?
Are they interested?
All right. I'm counting on you, Lamar, to call time. Lamar, be sure you call time when it's time. You go find them and tell them to come in, and then we're going to get this 40 race. There's more.
Are they clear?
All right. I would kind of like, or to suggest at least, that you would have a paper that you're copying this now, and then go ahead and put a number beside it on a scale of 1 to 10. You relate to those fairly well, right? Was this person a 10? Were they an 8? And then go ahead and evaluate it again. You might even jot down what you think makes the difference between that one that got a 5 and the other that got a 3, or the one that got a 3 and the other that got a 7. So what was the main difference? If you can, try to evaluate that. We're into comparing here for the sake of course, learning from it. Is there more? I think there is.
Are they getting feedback or clarification?
All right. Feedback. Maybe that almost goes up here. It's feedback from the student.
Well, one is knowledge of material, but they don't have much time for that.
All things fair, brother. They both have the same amount of time to look at it. Jonah is not looking at the lesson now, unless he is disobeying orders from headquarters. Yes, sir?
How they keep students' attention.
All right. How they keep it. How do they do this?
There's something said a couple of times about the minimum or the takeaway.
All right.
What minimum that you need to know to learn the lesson.
The takeaway, Bruce Wilkinson calls it the minimum for mastery. Do they hit the main points?
Does the teacher deal well with distractions?
Provide a few distractions.
Somehow. Okay. Or, yeah. Not really. You all are not. You're in the bleachers, okay? Let's keep the distractions. Let them come from the students up here. Okay? There's two other things specifically I'm thinking of. I'd like you to say them rather than me, because this is a review.
How well does the student learn?
All right, how well does the student learn? Well, that's going to be tough to evaluate for us to evaluate, but that is a very good thing, the way to evaluate teachers, of course, but how well do the students learn? And I suspect we'll be able to tell some of that through this, right? Are they getting the students to do feedback somehow? I doubt we'll line all four of you up here at the board, although that might be interesting.
factual, which you've got up there, the knowledge. They need to be interesting, but somehow they also need to be inspiring.
Okay.
I don't know quite how to put that down, but is the teacher inspirational?
Kind of belongs up here.
Yeah.
Another thing I'd like you to watch is their lead-in. Or their introduction. How are they going to start a class? To me, that's always fascinating to see a preacher do that with his Sunday morning message. He gets up and he might say something from the Sunday school class and then use that as a launching point. But how are they going to launch? Yes?
How they look, dress code.
Ah, their appearance. Thank you. More.
Jonathan, when all of y'all in this book live together, I'm thinking of these poor fellows who are fixing to pick apart.
Some of the reason that I don't mind being ruthless is this was done last year and I was one of the teachers. Okay? It actually isn't that bad. Okay? But see, the next thing we want to do after we do the two classes, I'm hoping to have 10 minutes remaining, where we are going to go into a slice and dice session. Yeah, and I did learn some things about myself through that that I think are valuable. So they're okay. They're okay with this. But thanks for thinking about it.
Would orderly or organized be something we're looking for here?
Organization. Okay, we have 1 minute remaining. Another thing that I think we'll find is this is a sequential lesson. This is a skills lesson. And do they review things that from previous knowledge that are required to do this lesson? This is just a lesson on the multiplication of fractions. And there's other skills. Yes, sir? Oh, I'm sorry.
No, I'm just
counting.
Just keep teaching, brother.
In other words, you got my point. The review of skill. All right, now just to be sure we understand, 10 minutes. It'll be one teacher, and I'm just wondering, do you think we should change out the students to all things fair? We probably should. Right. So do we have volunteers? 2 men and 2 ladies. To run out and run in, all things fair, right?
They should go out. They should probably go out.
You should probably go out. We'll let you in, okay?
Okay, it is time, everybody.
Okay, so Mike and, yeah, we're ready. Longo, thank you. And over here, 2. Thank you.
You need 180
to 180, and they're in the green. Thank you. Oh, no. Weren't you going like this? Oh. A second volunteer. Thank you. We have these 2 over there. Be ready to share your evaluation after the 2. So, Brother Berlin, we're ready. Now, Berlin knows this trick, but I put this chair here because last year he put a chair here for me, and we're finding out whether or not the teachers are going to use the chair, which I don't think they should, but there it was.
Any more hints, brother?
All right, please open your books to lesson 45. Students, if you remember yesterday, we were studying fractions and we saw one like this. Can you tell us what this word always means in a fraction, in a problem like this? That's good. You know what? We need to get something figured out here. What are your names? Help me get it.
Derek.
Derek, thank you. I knew that.
James,
thank you. Alyssa.
Shane.
James, Derek, Alyssa, Shane. Thank you.
Sorry, bro. They want to hear more. You Okay.
Can one of you tell me what this word means in math, Cheyenne?
Multiplication.
Right. Oh. So we understand we're multiplying there. Now, you remember from yesterday's lesson, they taught us a simple procedure. Can any of you do that in your head? James, you want to take a shot at it? Okay, how did he get that? Can someone tell us besides James? Cheyenne?
24 over 1. Cancel out your 8 and 24.
Divided by 8.
The 8 would be is 1. Would be 4. No.
You know, I like the way Cheyenne's doing this because she's a step ahead of us. She's telling us how to do today's. Look at this. She's saying, do this and cancel out your 8 and put a 1. Is that what you said? That's right. Okay. And how many times does 8 go into 24?
3
times. And now we multiply straight across. And your answer is 9. Now that was interesting. James, did you notice something there?
No, I gave you the wrong answer.
It's okay. So check this out. Let's see how. One more thing about today's lesson. I noticed that some of us were still getting a bit confused about primes and composites yesterday. If I have a number like 9, do you remember if that's a prime or a composite number?
Composite.
Gee. Composite because it is
divisible more than 1.
Exactly. Okay. So, can you give me an example of a prime number?
No.
No? Okay. Now, remember, a prime number is going to be only divisible by 1 and itself. What's a number like that? James, help us out, please.
7
is only divisible by 1 in itself. One more thing from a previous lesson that I'd like for us to remember. If I have 5 quarts of water here, how many gallons will that be? Let me write it up here so you can see it. How many gallons is that? Thank you. And Cheyenne, am I right that you thought how many quarts are in 1 gallon? And then she thought of how many were left over, and she put that number here. There's 4 quarts in a gallon. Very well. Now, let's look at today's lesson, lesson 45 in your books. Step 1, step 2, step 3, step 4. Let's just apply these steps to the problem that I write on the board. Notice in example A, it says 6 times 3, 4. But before we do this one, I'd like for us to just think a little bit. You were traveling here, right? So I want to imagine that, let's say, James traveled 2.5 hours to get here. But one of you, let's say Cheyenne, only traveled half as far. I want us to think about what the answer to that is. What would half of 2.5 hours look like? One of my questions is the answer going to be a bigger number than 2.5 or a smaller number than 2.5? Thank you. So, when you get your answers today, that's one simple thing that you'll need to check. Because when I divide something in half, I'm going to come out with a smaller answer. So, if he traveled 2.5 hours, and Cheyenne traveled
one half the distance.
Or one half as many hours. We want to learn how many hours she traveled to get here. So let's first work our example problem, and then we'll do this in an everyday life problem. You notice step one. It says express all whole numbers and mixed numbers as improper fractions. Do you see any whole numbers or mixed numbers here? Yes. Which one?
Six.
How can I express that as an improper fraction?
6/1.
Thank you. Now, look at step two. If possible, use cancellation to simplify the problem. And class, this is one of my favorite things. I like to make things easier. And right now, you have a chance to make your problem easier. Remember, Cheyenne, we studied about cancellation. You even told us in the example that we used this morning, how can I cancel and make this problem easier?
2 can go into both 6 and 4.
Thank you. 2 goes into 4. How often, James?
2.
Good. Derek? 2 goes into there.
3.
Thank you. Now, look at step 3. Multiply numerators by numerators, denominators by denominators. You remember we talked about, always remember, denominator down. Okay? So you multiply your denominators. 1 times 2 is 2. 3 times 3 is 9. Now, look at your final step. Step 4, write the answer in simplest form. Can someone help us?
Four.
And what happened? Let's just review how you got that. You took 9 divided by 2. Goes in there 4 times. You've got 1 left over, and 2 is your denominator. Excellent. Now, just for fun, let's see how many hours Cheyenne traveled to get here. All right? So we need to find 1 half of, or 2 and a half, let's say 1 half of 2 and 1 half. I see. Remember step 1? The first thing we need to do, can you help us there?
Three over two.
Thank you. Is she right? 3 over 2? No.
5 over 2?
Okay, help us out here.
5 over 2.
Okay. Let's see. 2 times 2 is 4. Plus 1 is 5. 5 over 2. And now, and of means times, you said?
1 minute.
Thank you. Now, look at step 3. Multiply straight across. 1 times 5 is 5. Multiply your denominators. 2 times 2 is 4. Last step.
1 over 4.
Thank you. 4 goes into 5. 1 time. There's 1. 4 left over. Any questions on today's lesson? Okay, you may begin. Teachers, let me say one thing before Jonah gets in. I repent for taking almost 7 minutes for that class. Generally, I would keep the class shorter than that and only help them then if they need help later. I say that because I'm in a multi-grade classroom and we generally have to streamline a little bit more than that. Thank you. Thank you, students.
Thank you.
All right. What is one half of two? Not two? What's half of two?
One,
thank you. All right, now, here we've got four, right? So what's one half of four?
Two.
What's one half of four? Well, we start out with four. Now we've got two. What you already told me, one half of two is, which is one. Thank you. All right. Now, this morning you should get a napkin. All right. Not every day you get a napkin at school. All right. Okay. Before you get too excited about eating a napkin, you'll know what this is. What is it?
A banana.
It's a banana. How much of a banana is it? It's a whole banana. Now, we found what one half of four was, and then what one half of four is. Now, we're going to divide the banana into thirds. What is one third of one third? It's a little more difficult. Okay? So we're going to peel the banana and divide it into pieces. Okay? So each third has how many pieces?
Three.
Very simple, right? Okay? So you're going to get to see
I can divide it properly. Okay, that's part of that piece. And this is part of this one.
How many pieces are there all together? I'm actually going to use your napkin. How many little pieces are there all together?
Nine.
So one third of one third is one ninth. Thank you. Now, what is half of 12?
Six.
Okay. Yesterday you learned that one half times 12 equals 6. Now today we're going to complicate that problem just slightly. And we're going to write 12 with a numerator of 1 because anytime we have a whole number, there's an imaginary 1 below that number. Okay? We can do one more thing with this problem. It's called canceling. When we cancel, we always cancel the numbers that are across the corner from one another, never straight across. All right? Are we able to, can you remember canceling from 6th grade? We did that in 6th grade. Are we able to cancel on this problem? Yes. What can we do?
Take it 2 out of 2 and 12.
Okay. So we cross out the 2 and the 12. What's that right there instead of that?
1 and 6.
1 and 6. So I write 1 here and 6 here. Right? Okay, then this is a very simple problem, but we multiply 1 times 6. 1 times 1. We end up with 6 over 1. Is that the answer you're going to write in your book? No, you'll simply write a 6. Okay, you may all come up to the board here. Careful there with your stick. Here's a marker. Let's go ahead and have the two ladies see if you can solve the problem 9 times 3/4. Okay, use the same process I used here. So write 9 as a whole number, and then just write that imaginary 1 below it. Are they doing it right? Remember how to turn this into a proper fraction. It's an improper fraction. So last year what we did, anytime your numerator is larger than the denominator, we divide the numerator by the denominator. So go ahead and work out 27 divided by 4. Very good. Your answer is right. You need to erase it. Thank you. We both came up with the correct answer, I think. All right. Gentlemen, you can step up here and
We're going to do 5/6 times 3/5. That's just two simple fractions. 5/6 times 3/5. Ladies, please watch and see if they do it right. Okay. Now, what's he doing over there? What do we call that?
Canceling.
That's right. Very good. You got that answer. Okay, we have a little problem here. You almost made it right. You did cancel, but is 6 divided by 3 2?
Oh, no, I guess so.
What is it? This should be a what?
I think a 3.
You think it should be a 3?
Yeah.
Let's actually just start over. Okay, you started out right there. And when you first started canceling, you crossed out both 5s. That was right. Now, when we want to cancel this way, we know that 3 goes into 6. How many times? 2 times. So we cross out the 6 and make it a 2. And we divide the entire 3, so it becomes a what?
Oh, 1.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, okay.
Now you're ready to keep going.
Yeah.
Erase your problem, please. Ladies, you're up again. Do you remember mixed numbers from last year? You know what a mixed number is? Familiar with that? All right, so you're going to do 1 3/5 times 10. You to step up to the board there. Boys, keep an eye on them. Make sure they don't make any mistakes here. What do we have to do with a mixed number before we can work it out? That's right. First, we have to change it to an improper fraction. How did you get 8 right now? Just tell me what you did.
5 times 1 plus
3. That's right. Very good. All right, gentlemen, you're back up again. Thank you, ladies. You can erase these problems. You're going to do 3 3/7 times 1/6. So, once again, from last year, remember that when you have a mixed number, you have to change it to an improper fraction before we can work with it. 3 3/7 times 1/6. So first, we're going to go 3 times 7 plus 3 to change that into an improper fraction. You got the correct answer, you can erase yours. That's right. Good job at canceling. That's right. That's right. Good job. So you can do this. Very good. Go ahead and erase that. All right, go ahead and sit back down and open your math book to lesson 45, please. Welcome to eat some pieces of banana while I keep talking here. So there are 4 steps in multiplying fractions in your lesson. Please open your book to lesson 45. It gives you those steps. If you follow those steps, you will be successful in working out your lesson for today. Express all whole numbers and mixed numbers as improper fractions. So, for example, 9 is written as 9 over 1, and 3 1/2 is written as 7/2. That makes sense? You want to remember that from last year?
1 minute.
1 minute, thank you. If possible, use cancellation. You all did an excellent job of that at the board. That's something you've done for several years already. Multiply numerators by numerators and denominators by denominators. This is probably the area in the lesson where you're most likely to make a mistake. So please, in today's lesson, remember not to accidentally, for example, if we were doing this problem, don't multiply 2 times 9 and write 18 over 7. Okay, that's a mistake you can make. The other thing you can make is by accidentally canceling across corners. For example, if we had 24/5 and 6/10, don't let yourself get fooled into doing this. Okay, that's a mistake that's often made. I don't want you to make that today. All right? Write the answer in simplest form. This is one thing that you all didn't have to do up at the board.
So, for example, in this problem,
you'll get to do it at your desks. Thank you.
And obviously a few things that were happening here that aren't realistic to your pure classroom setting that you'll have here directly, but I think every one of you that participated here did a good job and gave some noteworthy things to notice. I just want you to respond verbally. If you were a student in each of these teachers' classrooms, would you feel like you're in good hands?
Yes.
I really felt that way. Did it feel like it was somebody that you could trust?
Yes.
Yeah, definitely. Were they alike?
No.
Tell us a little bit about some of the differences. And just shortly, I'm going to ask, what was specifically better about one than the other?
I'm going to start out with an illustration with Van.
All right. That one caught us. Right? He really had a good hook there in starting out with a banana.
Berlin used a lot less review. He counted on the fact that they had the review. And he did
more review the last review. Right. I noticed that too. Verlin had less review than Jonah did. Yeah. James, you had a thought?
Verlin connected with us by getting all our names.
Okay. And that's important. That's one of the things I wanted to have on the board before we began. How often did you use please, thank you, and smile, and name? Four keys were great ways to connect to a student and be pleasant. Please, thank you, smile, and name. Thank you. Is there more? Which one do you feel used the board more effectively and why?
Jonah, because the students used it.
Ah, I would have said Verlin, because Jonah stood in front of it when he was writing. Yes?
Yes.
Yeah. I saw one of these students was trying to see past Jonah's broad body. Okay. So are we learning? Get the students at the board, but when you're using the board, stand off to the side. Okay. Otherwise, who are you writing it for? You won't hurt these fellows' feelings. You really won't. Because they're on a journey towards excellence as well.
One thing I noticed, Verlin always left out his equal sign. He had his multiplication, but he always left out the equal sign, which to a child carries the problem over. Carrying the problem over.
I noticed the same thing.
Both of them, when they said turn to lesson 45, neither one gave a page number. And for promptness and quickness and ease of the student to find the lesson, it's nice to give a page number, often it's quicker to find the number.
Right. Additional handle. Did Verlin use the class practice problems? I didn't have a paper. I know Jonah did. Did Verlin use them?
Yeah.
He did? Okay, good. Because in the rod and staff curriculum, if your class can do the class practice, they can do the rest of the lesson. That is guaranteed almost. Right? I didn't follow that. Did you notice a unique twist that Jonah had in that he only told him to open the book far after the halfway point of his allotted time? But he had actually went across the lesson, and so then when the student looked at the lesson, it was actually review. That was a unique twist. I'm not sure you'd want to do that all the time, but it was certainly effective. That worked.
The visual aid that Jonah started out with, put their mind to kind of prime the pump to what they were going to try to use those same thoughts and visual aids to find it.
Right. The visual aid was tremendous. Yeah. Yes. Yes, John.
Noah told them the pitfalls of trying to cancel denominators into denominators and numerators into numerators, and that was helpful because that way they know never do that.
Right. There was a thinking ahead there and saying here's a pitfall that can be a problem for the cancellation. That's good. Yes?
But then you would want to erase it off the board.
Okay, it got erased a little bit too quickly. Right? But, I mean, look at their board. It's not very big.
No, I mean, you would want to erase the wrong way.
Yes.
Before they go back and forth.
Oh, you say you would want to erase it.
Yes.
Got it. Okay, I'm with you. You would want, if you do something wrong, illustrate something wrong, erase that, and you can actually pound on the stake that you're trying to drive here by, you know, making a little drama of erasing this mistake. Don't leave it on the board for them to copy later. There was another hand here.
I've been meaning to say the same thing. You have to be careful not to actually introduce that as a possible way of doing it.
Okay. All right, so maybe everything was okay, and you can actually trip a student up introducing an error. Okay.
I agree with that. I might just sidetrack them right at the end there when they do already understand it.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to know your students. I would think that they would decide whether to say it or not.
Right.
Both had good energy, and it wasn't the monotone now. So they didn't want to have a barrier.
Right. Yep.
So
I would say both of them get good scores on being interesting. All right.
I like what Bill said about cancellation just being, this is the fun part of the year we get from you. The way they both presented that, the problem is easier to do this like this.
I had written that down too, that whenever you tell students this is a way to make your work easier, you jolly well have their attention. Right? And, yeah, Verlin tapped into that.
Alex always running with their students' names as an example for you, an example of them.
Yes, I had this notice the same thing, that Verlin used the students' names and something they had just experienced in an example on the board. That really aids in student engagement. That's great.
John. Engaged pretty well. One thing that I always, every time I listen to him talk over this meeting, it made me chuckle because his eyes got big and his eyebrows went up, and you knew that he was focused on you.
Yeah. So there was that nonverbal communication going on. Yeah. With which one more?
That was Verlin.
Verlin?
Yeah.
Okay. But I don't feel neglected when I talk to Jonah either, but yes, I understand what you're saying. Paul.
I was watching for distraction. I didn't know there was anything distracting with Verlin. With Jonah, his suspender slipped off his shoulder. And talk to my preachers about that. But plenty of distracting things in front of class, too.
Yeah. One of my more humiliating moments in teaching is when I was standing at the lunchroom watching the students file into the lunchroom, and I realized I had a dollop of oatmeal here that I'd had for breakfast.
Jonah, if you gained 40 pounds, that probably wouldn't happen. But then they couldn't see the whiteboard.
The problem would even be worse for the students. I noticed the same thing, but the pressure was pretty high. Yeah, we'll forgive you this time. Both of you got down to business right away, which is good, but we felt a little bit like all of a sudden, you know, we were off to the races. Okay, both. Yeah, more observations.
Verlin's voice dropped a couple of times, and I realized my hearing was not as keen as it should be, or could be, but that might be an issue. And also, I noticed Jonah said pretty frequently, okay and all right.
Okay.
It could be distracting. I know some students just pick up on stuff like that really quickly.
And I was thinking about that thing of Verlin's voice dropping. Is that actually a positive or a negative? It was a negative to you, but he really wasn't teaching to you back here.
Yeah.
And so in a multi-grade classroom, it probably is actually a positive. But at the same time, yeah, I had a little bit difficulty. I was actually sitting back further than Lloyd. and I had difficulty following. But that probably in a classroom is actually maybe a positive. All right, well, more perhaps could be said or should be said. I don't know. But I just want to finish by saying that you're called to teach, and God can use you. And now go be used. And you do go with our prayers. Verlin and Joan and I specifically prayed for you here visibly at the beginning of this institute. But part of my commitment is to keep on praying for you. And we need your prayers too. I really enjoyed the illustration this morning, or the thought of the smoke arising from God's people as the visible picture of prayers ascending. But we don't have life put together, and sometimes the smoke's coming out of our ears. It feels that way. And we would appreciate your prayers too. So let's together build the kingdom for our King. Thank you. You're excused.